with Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 563 of the Bold and the Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by one of our repeat offenders, and that is Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein. And oh boy, is this going to be wild and crazy, because this is your brain on chilling out, or trying to chill out one way or the other. So for all of you who may not know Elizabeth, all three of you, she's been at the Wall Street Journal for over 25 years. And she's covered topics such as higher education, philanthropy, mental health, religion. She's an investigative reporter on several high-profile projects, and has really written two different columns as well. So she's been around forever and a day. And what I'm telling you is that this next column she wrote, I called her up immediately and said, let's do this. This is too crazy not to do. So this is your brain on chilling out. Elizabeth, welcome back to the Her podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I love the title. It's Meditation Never Worked for Me, so I had Harvard researchers scan my brain. What the hell? Why did you decide to go down this path?
You know, I like many people, struggle to chill out. You know, I think that we're all, I write this column about relationships, which includes how we relate to ourselves. And I learn and I believe that we're all looking for ways to reduce stress, to, you know, try to reset ourselves, recharge. You know, we're living in times that are very busy, very tough. And so I've struggled, though, and I've tried all the different apps that you can meditate. That's one way I've tried to calm down. And then I saw this research. I thought it was really interesting. And these researchers at Harvard, for the first time, they say, mapped people's brains while they were meditating. So in the past, people had mapped a brain before and after, but now they mapped it while you're meditating. They did brain scans and they saw that exactly when brains calm down. And they said it was 2 to 3 minutes. And even newbies, even people who are beginners to meditation would see these results. So I had to find out for myself. And I thought if they could get me to calm down, then they're really onto something.
I have my calm down story as well. All right. Which I think is very pertinent. This is why I looked at this and I said, oh my God, memory lane. So Herb Benson was the founder of the Mind Body Institute at Harvard. I remember when he first mentioned this whole issue of, you know, the mind is very powerful here, especially, well, he was a cardiologist, especially as it relates to things like high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease. And he was poo-pooed. They said, what are you, nuts or something? We give people pills for all that stuff. And he said, I don't know. And so he brought in some monks. And they were all staring at him like he'd lost his mind. Speaking of mind, the monks were incredible. They could reduce their heart rate and their blood pressure upon demand.
It's crazy.
And they did it in front of everybody there. And all of a sudden, you know, some of those other scientists over there at Harvard were scratching their heads saying, I don't know, maybe he's on to something. And one thing led to another. Needless to say, we all know where this ended. And that is the reason why you write such magnificent columns. It's about the mind. It's psychology. And he lent credibility. So I met him somewhere along the line. And I walked up to him one day and I said, you know, I can't, no, look at me. I'm a quadruple, quintuple A personality. You really think I can chill out? And you go, oh, of course you can. And I'm going to teach you the relaxation response, which is the title of his most famous book, little tiny book. So I read the book and I went, mm-hmm. And we sat down together. I lasted 11 seconds. I was one of his most epic failures. I just totally failed the whole thing. Oh my God. And flashing forward, what really happened was that you have to find, and you mentioned this, and we're going to get into this in 2 seconds. You have to find the kind of chilling out and meditation that works best for you. I found, yes. You know, forget the teaser alert, here's the answer. I do a combination of prayer and transcendental meditation. So I put both of those together and somehow it all worked. Some of the other forms just don't kick in for me at all. So I think part of the answer to this whole thing, like I can't meditate, is maybe the fit wasn't right.
Exactly. And,
you know, and trying to get that whole thing together, you know. So, all right, that was my, you know, interesting way of putting it. The TM teachers, by the way, did a great job of trying to understand me. So they said, Dr. Peak, we have formulated a teaching for you because you're taught for several days. We're going to call it warrior meditation because that's who you are. You're like an Amazon. So I said, ooh, cool. You know, I thought you were going to go like granola on me here. And they didn't. They did a great job. So again, it was about a fit and meeting just the right people. And I think that when people read this incredible column you wrote, they're going to learn a lot more about what this whole brain thing is about on meditation. All right. Now, what did you do? You called up the folk over at Harvard and you said, here I am. So now what?
Can I come on up? They said, sure. Because all of these people, it was fascinating to me when I got there, but this was a lab full of researchers, neuroscientists, the lead was an anesthesiologist. These are people on staff at Harvard Medical School, but they all meditate and they have large, you know, very serious meditative practices in their own lives. I've never seen people laugh more. Like they were just the happy, laughing people. So I was already sold on the Zoom call beforehand. But then we went up there. I went up there and I had them, you know, really do the brain scan. You know, I had an EEG, so I wore the cap. They scanned my brain while I meditated for 15 minutes. And there's a lead up, you know, where you do some breathing. And then afterwards, you know, they get a baseline before and after. But for 15 minutes, I meditated with their protocol, which is a person. It was focused attention meditative. And it's somebody just saying two sentences. I think it is, I'm not the mind. I am not even the body. As you breathe in on I am not the mind, you breathe out on I am not the body. And that's all I had to do for 15 minutes.
Wow. What was that like?
Well, at first I was nervous. Well, I was very nervous beforehand because I thought, well, this just isn't going to work because they told me no caffeine and no hair gel. And it's June and I have curly hair and this was just not going to work for me. We were going to have a videographer and I thought, well, how am I going to even focus? I don't have any caffeine. It's early in the morning. So I was already a little bit more stressed than usual. But then when I got there and they let me listen to the recording beforehand, but when we started, when I started the meditation, I really thought this person's talking too fast. This man who's speaking is talking too fast and I'm going to ask them, I'm going to have to stop this whole thing and ask them to slow him down, slow the recording, and I can't keep up with my breathing. And so I was a little stressed for a few seconds, a minute. And then I thought, wow, they must have read my mind because they've got a brain scan going and they're Harvard. They're very smart. So they must have read my mind and they must know that I've slowed down. They've slowed him down. The speaking has slowed down. And then I thought, well, that just can't be. I think something's happening in my brain. And so it seemed slow enough. I could keep up with my breathing. And then halfway through, I thought, well, that's very interesting. They've stopped the recording. I sort of jolted awake. Like I almost think I fell asleep or I, you know, just sort of really zoned out for a second. Then came to and he was talking and I finished the meditation and I felt very calm. It was, you know, even with
the videographer in my face. Wait a minute, stop. Did you say you were calm?
Yeah, it's incredible, right? It's really incredible.
Did you write this down in your diary? My God, at exactly 11:05 a.m., I was calm.
For the first time ever. I thought, like, this is really, I mean, my job is busy. My mom is sick. Like, it was really, going into this was a stressful period. And I thought, wow, like, this really worked. But I knew it worked before they showed me the results because I felt it. And in fact, when the doctor showed me the results, he said, you already know them. You've already felt what happened. So you're not going to be surprised when we show you your brain scan. And it showed, and I am stunned that exactly at 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, I calmed down and my brain moved from alpha waves into theta waves, which is more of a deep, sort of a deep relaxation. So, and then it stayed that way even after the meditation. So I was really surprised.
What was that like for you to see your own brain scan?
It's really fun. It's really fun to see, like, it's very fun as a report. It's just fun for a person, but it's fun as a reporter to see that what you are trying to write about, actually to see the evidence, to say, wow, that really did work. I can see it. So I have a lot of, it's not just subjective, that I can really say this worked. I can show that this worked, and it's very fun, and it's fun to have them explain it to you. And then we went to lunch afterwards, an hour or two later, and I thought the food was the greatest food I ever tasted. It was just Chinese food. But I kept saying, like, wow, it's just not that good in Miami where I live. And they all laughed around the table and they said, that's the meditation. You know, they said the food's nice, but it's not special. You know, there's nothing particularly special about this meal, but meditation, they said, your brain, it focuses you because it does two things I learned. It calms you down, but it also focuses you. And so that's what they can see in the brain waves. They're not waves that just zone you out. They can see the focus too, which I think is fascinating.
It's very interesting. It's almost like you're more present, right? You're not getting distracted by, you know, some guy talking over to your left or, you know, some dog walk by or something. You're really into it in a big way. A lot of the science, and you mentioned this very well, a lot of the science noted that when you reach that more meditative state with the theta waves, right, that your prefrontal cortex, which is the CEO of the brain, becomes more enriched. We can actually see in some research that the circulation increases to the prefrontal cortex. And this is where you organize, where you strategize, where, you know, you have a much higher level of thinking and analysis, and all of that comes on. But the other thing that also occurs is the amygdala, which is where your fight and flight response is tamped down. That's the part that, you know, gets all of us who are, you know, quintuple A personalities, and we're kind of doing lizard brain all day long.
All day long.
Like, it just totally just rebounding off every stress that, you know, is happening around the world, next door, on top of us, whatever. And so that is, to me, wonderful to know that these are actual anatomical, physiologic changes that are taking place once you reach that more meditative state. There are so many people out there. What would you tell them, you know, who say, oh God, I could never do that. I'm just too razzed up and whatever.
Triple A, quadruple A. I would say if I can do it, anybody can do it. But again, it goes back to your point that I think different types of meditation work. One reason I could never really do it before is I would try different ones on apps and maybe the voice would be annoying to me or it would be distracting and I would get, you know, sort of curious about how this person was talking in a way that didn't seem quite natural. You know, they talk in a very calm way and, you know, so, or I didn't like the exact guided meditation. And this for me was so simple. Two sentences, breathe in, breathe out. So the distractions went away right away. So I would say keep trying. I could never get the meditations where you have to try to sit calmly and let your thoughts just float by. That just is a concept I don't know that I'll get my mind around. But so that didn't work. But again, like something so simple as two sentences that I listened to, that was really incredible. And they assured me that this, I was going to see the results, that a beginner could do this. But I, even then I was surprised because I knew how stressed I was in my life going into this. And I, you know, thought, I hope this works because I'm going up to Boston to write a whole story about it. But I would say stick with it. And keep trying some things and maybe start with the most simplest one. The simplest one.
I think one of the biggest lifts from this really wonderful column is that you have to find what works for you. And that's, it's okay. You can have epic fails like I did, It's like finding clothes, like, oh, look, this is the perfect fit. Well, you didn't know that until you, you know, tried to wedge yourself into some other clothes or maybe that color, like, no, that's never going to work. And that type of thing. So, you know, what was fascinating was I literally dared my TM teachers. I said, you know, and they said, yes, and it'll be 20 minutes. I said, 20 minutes? I couldn't last 11 seconds. What are you, crazy or something? And they have like a little clock there, and it was the first teaching and whatever. But you know what really worked for me? I'm a visual person. And what they told me was they use an analogy, right? What we're going to do is it's going to be like scuba diving. And then they had no idea, unless they did some really interesting vetting on me, that I'm a scuba diver.
So am I.
I love the water. So are you. You love the water. We both love the water. So when you first get in the water, you know, you're up there. And now what's interesting is when you're just sort of like treading water for a moment and trying to get yourself together and get the mouthpiece in and, you know, the whole thing, you're getting knocked around by waves. And that's life. Mm-hmm. So that's the stress of your mother and all the other things going on in your life. And so you're getting smacked around by all the waves, right? And then as you descend into theta wave, right? Then all of a sudden, as you know, as a scuba diver, it gets quiet. There's no waves. You're just, you know, and then as you go deeper, it gets more and more quiet. And then the thing, see, I could visualize all this because I've done it.
Yeah.
And then I thought, wow. And then they said, now look to the right, look to the left, look in front, look anywhere you want. What do you see? And I said, infinity. Because you know, when you're in the ocean, there's no wall. You're not in a pool, you know? It's infinity. And and it occurred to me, my God, this is really cool. And so I could see myself, I envisioned myself doing little twirls in the water and having fun and being weightless. And I didn't have to try to think about anything. I was just there. And that's what worked. So the fit for me, maybe someone else isn't a scuba diver and they wouldn't be able to relate. But for me, it was like, that was the thing. And by the time I came out of it, she had to tell me it was 20 minutes. When I saw that it was 20 minutes, I literally almost fell off my chair. I said, you have flipping got to be kidding me. And she goes, nope, 20 minutes. And I thought, okay, I can do this. We can scuba dive.
Right? We can scuba dive in our mind. It's great. And it's just a great feeling. I had that same feeling. Well, what do you mean? We're done? I could do that again. I can't believe it's over. But it's interesting that you said scuba diving, because I've always felt meditative diving. And I think a big piece of it is the breathing as well, right? You have to calm your breathing in, out. And that's a big piece of meditation, is you're calming. It's all breath oriented. But also, people wrote me afterwards and they said, you know, I haven't really successfully meditated, but how about scuba diving? Or how about fly fishing? Or how about when I knit or I crochet? And I do think these repetitive things, especially if they sort of focus, if another thing is, right, you're focusing your attention on something other than your monkey mind, is very important too. But I have always found scuba diving, especially the breath part of it, to be so meditative.
There was an article that just came out. I think it's live right now in the New York Times. And it was like, what if I can't run anymore? And, you know, people, it, really interesting article. And they interviewed people who, for a whole host of reasons, it's usually the, you know, like I got to 50 and my knees are shot or, you know, whatever the issue may be. And the grand majority of them said, I never did this to, like, you know, burn calories or, you know, fit into those jeans or whatever. Said, the hell with that. It was all from my mind.
Exactly.
And now that I don't have it, they literally, you know, shift mood and they become gloomier and even depressed, because how do you substitute in the right way? But what they really got down to it was highly meditative. you get lost when you're, you know, as one woman runner was mentioning, she says, I feel like I'm flying. It's effortless. And it's all I think about is just how beautiful it is today. And I'm not thinking about another thing. I don't know. Sounds like meditation to me.
Exactly. And again, another breath, you know, sort of focused. You have to really breathe well to run well. So, you know, I think that's a key. But I can see that. I think there's probably so many activities that are meditative.
So in the article, you were quoting Dr. B. I'm going to say that because you can say his name and I can't. It's quite a long name. He's the professor of anesthesiology at Harvard Medical School, and he's the one who, you know, is overseeing the study. The goal of meditation is to get into a space where you're observing your thoughts coming and going, but you're not caught up in them. They don't like snare you like, oh my God, I just had this fearful thought, you know, and whatever. He said there is a distance between you and your mind and body. You know what I thought about? I just had another thought. And that is when I was walking around Lake Washington with a good friend of mine who was one of the big, you know, original leadership team with Microsoft. And we were just walking around. And she was teaching me something about Buddhism. And she said, look up at these, you know, Lake Washington is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful sort of sunny day, blue skies, and some really nice fluffy clouds. And she said, you know, look at that one cloud right there. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, now take every funky thought that is filled with maybe some fear, anxiety, weirdness, something, almost feeling toxic, and just dump it on the cloud. Okay, so I said, all right, it's dumped. She says, now watch the cloud slowly go away. And it just took all of that little bad stuff with it. Ever since then, when I look up and I see the clouds, I'm
That's
there.
That's a good technique.
It's a brilliant technique.
Yeah,
it's
brilliant
just like,
technique.
Okay. It's gone. Bye.
Exactly. You know?
And I love it. So, and then they said the effects of all of this are cumulative. The more you meditate, the more lasting the benefits. What's that about?
You know, and they're saying this is just for a few minutes a day. You don't have to sit down for 2 hours a day, but some of these researchers did. But the more you meditate, so if you meditate every day, the more you're going to calm down, the more you're going to see the health benefits. There's health benefits with reduced blood pressure. And the more you do it, the better you're going to feel, and physically and mentally. And I think that's so compelling.
I think that that's awesome. And you also mentioned, it's kind of like, you know, I was thinking about this. It's like mental pennies in a mental piggy bank, you know?
Yeah.
You're just sort of accumulating, and it's like, look what I have here, you know, because it really works, you know, yeah, over time. So there are different kinds of meditation. My doctor mind wants to keep turning this word into medication, and I'm like, stop that right now. Just stop it. Okay. So you've got focused attention meditation. What's that?
So that's what I did. So where I focused on a sentence, you could focus on a chant, focus on a word, focus on your breath, but you're focusing on one thing, and that is what's going to get you into that state. You're repeating something. The breath, again, like the focus on something that's repeating.
Is that looking at like a candle burning? Is that the same thing?
You know, I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
Interesting. I wonder. I don't know. Well, then there's open awareness meditation. And that's where it's all about your mind and your thoughts, right?
That's sort of what you talked about with the cloud. You can often, I've heard them say, you know, picture your thoughts drifting by like a cloud drifts by. But that's one, I find it a little harder to do personally, but where you're sort of letting your thoughts come and go, and sort of you're supposed to observe them. Oh, wow, I had that very bad thought. And then it's leaving. So that's what that is.
How interesting is that? And then there's this other one that I have big problems with. Okay. We're just going to be totally transparent. it's you're going to love this. It's loving kindness meditation. So what is this?
This is where you send thoughts of love and kindness to yourself, to others, to the world, to someone you love, to someone you don't love, to someone who's very difficult. And there's sort of a protocol. You go through these different groups of people, yourself, someone you love, someone you find difficult, someone you don't know well, the world. I don't know the exact order, but it's interesting because after I did my meditation story, I saw some research that showed that doing this regularly can make you happier. They have some research that shows the loving kindness meditation makes us happier. So I've decided to stack them now. Before I go to bed, I stack my listening to the sentences. I am not the mind. I am not even the body. And then I do a loving kindness. And I have to say, I sleep much better on those nights. So just go out like a light.
I have a friend who, you know, is really into the loving kindness thing. And she sent me this, was it like a Christmas present or something? And it was a whole bunch of really cool post-its. And it said, I burn incense. I meditate daily. I think kind thoughts. And I still want to slap people.
That's all of us. It's totally true.
I just loved it. It was like, okay, you know, I'm there. You know, you tried. But you still want to do bad things to people.
Of course we do, because we're human. It goes back to psychology.
I know, because you know what happens to the loving kindness thing? What immediately comes to my brain is like, you know, all the people who are really annoying me at this very moment. Mm-hmm. And somehow that compassion thing, I don't know. It's a deal breaker.
You have to choose the person who's a little tiny bit annoying, not the really annoying one, or you'll get stuck.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to be a little more discerning in the future.
They said no politicians. Don't even go there.
Please. No. We're not doing politics. All right. Now, when we come back, I'm going to be asking Elizabeth some really pointed questions about meditation going forward, especially after this experience. If you've ever picked up a product and thought, I have no idea what half of these ingredients are, this one's for you. SkinSafe is an app developed by Mayo Clinic that takes the guesswork out of shopping for skincare and personal care products. It uses decades of clinical research to analyze ingredients and match products to your unique skin profile, so you always know exactly what's safe for you. Whether you have sensitive skin, allergies, or just want to be more intentional about what you put on your body, SkinSafe makes it simple. Download the app for free and use the link in the description to get 20% off a SkinSafe premium membership. And we're back. Okay. So what the hell did you really learn from this whole thing? What are you using right now in your life? What's going on?
You know, I learned that it does work and that it's certainly worth going forward trying to do. That this is, you know, I felt it, a very powerful effect, and I saw the powerful effect on my brain scan. And then I met these people who meditate a lot and they did seem very, very happy. So that's enough for me to decide that I'm going to try to do this every day and maybe see if I do another story in 3 months and see if I'm a measurably, you know, objectively happier or calmer person or less reactive. Or maybe one thing that's interesting is Dr. Subramaniam. He goes by Bala, his first name, Dr. Bala, who is the lead researcher here. He showed me his Aura Ring results of his sleep. And he sleeps maybe 6 hours, if I remember, a night. He's not sleeping 7 and 8, but he's sleeping a very large amount in very deep sleep. And that was also very compelling to see. So I thought, I wonder if I can change my sleep by meditating. So I think I'm going to do some more experiments, see if this works.
It's really interesting because when I started to really do this as a practice Hello, people. I said the word practice. Doing this once a month is, yeah, that's a real special experience. But that'd be like training for a marathon by running once a month. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. Okay. You've got to do this on a more routine basis, but don't be weird and strict about it. Right. If, like, for instance, I for sure get my 20 minutes in the morning because I get up early enough to be able to do some of that. And that's good. Okay. But later in the day, you know, when all hell is breaking out and all my great thoughts about getting a whole bunch of stuff done, well, you know, so when that may fall apart, I may or may not get to that second 20 minutes because TM involves 20 minutes twice a day. And you know what I say to myself? Little loving kindness. Okay. Girlfriend, you got one in. That's cool. That's better than none. And it means a lot. It's like how you set the pace for the day and the rest of it. So how are you doing yours?
So I do it usually before I start work. So I do not get up probably as early as you do, but I do it before I start work. And then I do it, the one I can get more regularly to is before I go to bed. Dr. Bala did say he feels that sunrise and sunset are the best times to meditate because there's a transition already that your body's recognizing. But that's just not feasible for me on either end. You know, I'm not up for the sunrise and usually and the sunset I'm working. So it's just not so. But I found that right before bed is very helpful. I can calm down and it also cuts off that. Usually I read. But now it cuts off this, like, I'm paying attention. I want to check my phone. Oops, I scrolled for 20 minutes. And now I'm really still activated, my brain, or upset about something I saw in the news. Or, you know, it really is a great for me transition from sort of active mind to like internal calming down.
It's interesting. It also made me much more aware of the landmines out there, literally landmines, you know, with a D. And that is, you know, doom scrolling, you know, freaking out,
terrible.
Especially with the news nowadays, you know, it's just, there's so much anxiety and craziness and the rest of it. So what I find myself doing is really turning all of that off. I've been very proud of myself.
Yes.
Elizabeth, you'd be proud.
That's,
you know,
I
just said no.
It's very hard.
No.
It's impressive because it's very hard. And then there's research that shows that these short-term videos, every little video we're seeing on Instagram or TikTok is very bad for our brain. And so it's keeping us addicted and it's not, I can't remember the exact results, but just the big banner headline that it's very bad for our brain. And so this takes me away from that in the evening. And I don't, it's almost like a way to, at first, supplant it, have something else to do, but also it makes it less compelling because this becomes very compelling when you feel how calm you are. And it's interesting, going back to your prayer mention, I think prayer can be a meditation. And also for me, I find that the loving kindness in a way is also a prayerful thing. So, and I like that before bed too. I think it's really a nice way to transition to going to sleep.
So I'm a recovering Catholic. Okay, I'm in recovery right now. I'm in rehab. It was traumatic, but I've saved, you know, a few prayers that have always been very comforting to me, and they're short enough. And so, who doesn't know the Hail Mary, right? And Our Father, and that type of thing. And I find myself, much to the chagrin of the strict TM people, you know, just I like cobbling things together and customizing them for myself so that it works for me. I don't like to be told what to do, as it were. So I always like to have wiggle room to make it, to call it my own, to say, I crafted this for myself.
Yes.
And, you know, it's so interesting. One of the reasons why I loved this column that you wrote, Elizabeth, is after I got through laughing at the original picture of you and the electrodes. Yeah, it was special.
So happy to have that in the paper.
I know. It just, the whole world had to see that. What's really important here is to say how unbelievably critical it is that we calm our heads down for everything in life. That before we, you know, go from zero to angry outburst, that we kind of, I found that as I did more and more meditation, it became so much easier to just sort of stay in that calm place. So you mentioned that you tried a bunch of apps and, you know, whatever, to try to calm down, and things didn't go so swimmingly. Those app things never work for me.
No, I don't want to listen to this.
Yeah, I found them useless. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not useful for somebody out there. But for me, you know, that's not good. So one thing led to another. And I just found that owning the experience as my own and then realizing, of course, you know, I'm a researcher. So I had to look at the published evidence, as you did too when you wrote this. And what it says is your mental health is dependent upon your ability to modulate your mood, because you can control that. That's one of the few things we can control in life, but you can actually control that. You know what I think about? You know, I'm an outdoor person, so are you and whatever. And I'm a major league hiker and back and forth. I think, okay, I'm going to go on a 5 miler, right? And maybe even a longer one, whatever. And I'm hiking out there. What do you think is reasonable to do about halfway through? You know, you see a big rock over there, you sit down, you take a chill. You know, you look around, you go, it's a pretty cool place. You know, I didn't realize they had those kind of trees over there. And you're becoming mindful. But guess what you're doing? You're resting and calming the body. The body was like, thanks a lot for the rest, because we've been kind of going uphill and things are looking a little iffy, right? Why are we not doing that with our minds? Our minds are going like crazy things, so like a little gerbil wheel in there all day long. Did it ever occur to people you need to rest your mind as well?
No. And I think it's getting worse, of course, because with the internet, again, and the internet's gone from just pictures to these videos and people talking at you all the time in the corporate world, too. I think people's jobs have picked up. It's a very tough time. Companies are under stress. They want more, more, more out of everybody. And so there's just this never rest from the top down. Everybody's stressed out and pushing for more. And you're right. There's just not this culture that we would rest. And, you know, the major religions of the world have built in rest into their weeks, right? So, but we just don't do that anymore in our secular world, really, unless, you know, you're quite religious and you're observing a Sabbath of some kind. So, but we don't. And it's so important, because it's important for our mental health. It's important for our physical health. It's important for our relationships, our work, our parenting, everything.
Okay, everyone out there, Elizabeth and I are right now giving you a license to chill.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to have your own license to chill. Because, you know, you weren't given kudos for that in the workplace. It was like, keep going, keep going, keep going, especially with AI and all this stuff going on. Everything's changing at, you know, nanosecond speed. And you're expected to keep up with it. You need, just like sitting on that boulder halfway through a long, you know, arduous hike, you need time to take a chill. And who hasn't taken a nice walk somewhere in a park and didn't come out saying, wow, that really cleansed my brain and I feel more creative, I feel calmed down? I mean, you know, who takes a nice walk in the park and says, you know, that was the worst experience of my life? No, it's the best experience. You're in nature, you're connecting, you're calming down. Now, that doesn't mean, mind you, that you have to be sitting somewhere. You know, for me, I like calming down by just doing what I call meditative walks. Mm-hmm. Right? And those meditative walks are extremely important. I took up about 5 years ago, Tai Chi Kwan, which is sort of more of a military, of course, why not, a version of Tai Chi. God forbid I should do the just the simple one. No. We have swords and we got the whole thing, you know, rocking as soon as you reach a certain belt level. You know, it's sort of me, you know. But what's interesting about that is that you're called out if you go too fast. So everything there, if you just look carefully, well, actually, it's a thing now in fitness, the Tai Chi walk. So it's very methodical. Have you seen it? It's all over the internet. It's just extremely methodical. And, you know, you're not just kind of like schlepping along or something. Yeah. You're really kind of doing it strategically and methodically. You're feeling, you know, the ground underneath you. You're really engaging muscles that you didn't even know you owned. It's a wild experience. The first time I did it, of course, you can only imagine what an epic fail that was. Years ago when I was learning Tai Chi Kwan, my master would constantly scream, he said, slow it the hell down, will you? And I said, okay, all right. Like, how slow would you like it?
Would
you like it half? Maybe a third. It's like I was constantly negotiating. And he said, just slow it down. And then he would take it to a painfully slow level and have me follow him. And I suddenly realized, okay, light bulb went off. So this is how you do it. And I noticed my mind changed right along with it. Have you ever tried anything like that?
I haven't gone that slow, but I do make myself walk with no music, you know, no phone calls. Like, it's very rare. People, I see them all over my neighborhood walking their dogs. Like, they're not, you know, even running. They're listening to something, listening to a podcast. But it's tuning all of that out, down and out. So I'm going to try the slower walk, see how.
But the slow walk thing is wild. Just look it up. They have some great videos out there. You know, when I walked my beloved German Shepherd, I used to, you know, have my podcast thing going or whatever. Then I realized, you know, I'm not even mindful of my surroundings. You know, I'm walking around a gorgeous lake. I've got beautiful greenery around. What is wrong with me? And so I forbade myself and I just said, no, we're not doing that anymore. And now I'm like totally, I've made friends with certain ducks. And I'm right there with the Canadian geese and my herons are out there too and all that stuff. And it's like one big happy family that I didn't even know existed. I was distracted.
And you're getting at something else, which is awe, which is my favorite line of research, where, you know, awe can also lower our blood pressure. It can help with depression and anxiety. It can improve relationships. This is all a strong body of research. And awe itself is really anything that is bigger than ourselves. So it can be the herd of, I guess it's not a herd of geese. Is it the flock of geese?
It's a flock.
It's a flock of geese. It can be anything, mountains, water, a symphony, a baby taking a walk. So, but when you're outside and you're having these walks and these meditative practices outside, you're layering awe on. So it's just double the benefit.
I know. And I love the awe thing because now I have something to awe about because I'm paying attention. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Attention. When the geese were having little babies, and I walked, you know, early in the morning. It was just quiet and so peaceful and all the rest of it. Oh, my God. The babies were underneath the wing. I had never seen that before.
Incredible.
I have the videos.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Because oh, my God. Little babies poking their heads out going, yo, you know. And if I was listening to a podcast, I missed the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. And that's kind of where it's at. So that's kind of where I am. So everyone, we have been talking to the one, the only, Elizabeth Bernstein of the Wall Street Journal. And again, we've been talking about brain scans, meditation, having a license to chill, which we all need, and the unbelievable benefits of just calming down to your own mental health, let alone your physical health. And this is another shout out that this is a mind-body proposition. I know you hear a lot of physical fitness and the rest of it from me, but I've always been mind-body. You know that. And that's just the way. And so I really want to make certain that you know how terribly essential it is that you take a moment. And that's one of the reasons why I had Elizabeth on to explain all of this and her personal journey. And I think it's important to know how human we are. I'm human. Elizabeth's human. You know, we're all kind of struggling with this. We're challenged with calming down, you know, the monkey brain, the gerbil wheel, whatever you want to call it in your brain, lizard brain. And just take control. Be calm. So what's your last statement to people out there who may still be on the fence, like, I don't know. You know, is this real? Is this not?
My statement would be that it is real, but it's also something you don't have to purchase, right? I should mention this app that I use, this, you know, I'm not the body, I'm not even the mind. It's on an app called Miracle of Mind, which is free. So you don't have to purchase something. You can repeat that yourself. You could come up with your own phrase you repeat, listen to your breath, walk, run, whatever it is. So it's free. It's relatively easy, I found. I was surprised. And it really does work. So I would say stick with it. That try it, but stick with it long enough to see. And yes, we need to be kinder to ourselves and give ourselves that break.
I still have those Post-its, by the way. I light a candle. I say my meditation.
You haven't slapped me yet.
I still want to. Yeah, it's actually what it said was I still want to bitch slap someone, and so I fell off my chair. I was laughing so hard because she's real. She knows how hard it is, you know, and the whole thing. So Elizabeth, just keep up these fantastic columns. Everyone, look up Elizabeth Bernstein with the Wall Street Journal. Her columns are absolutely priceless. I just love them. I learned so much from each one of them. So please do that. And thank you so much, Elizabeth, for being on her podcast again.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Oh boy. And then I want to thank my wonderful sponsor. It's Skin Safe, and that's an app developed by the Mayo Clinic. You know, we're in summertime. You know, you're cooking your skin. You know that. And so what this wonderful Skin Safe app does, developed by the Mayo Clinic, is it takes the guesswork out of shopping for skincare and personal care products using high-level science, which is what I love. Decades of clinical research, analyzing the ingredients. You got to run on over to Skin Safe. This is absolutely the best. So download the app for free and use the link in the description to get 20% off a Skin Safe premium membership, because I want your skin to look healthy and gorgeous, just gorgeous. And this has been a production of Podcast Health. And just a little thought, you know, when we think about meditation and all these new practices and rituals in our lives, you got to plan. Please remember something. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So let's get this little sucker on your calendar. All right, get on out there and seize the day. Thanks for listening, everyone.